الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه وتعالى على جزيل نعمائه ووافر عطائه والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله خاتم النبيين أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله We praise Allah for all his bounties and his blessings that he bestowed upon us. And we ask him to shower his peace and blessing on the last of the prophets whom he sent with the guidance and with the true religion. And we bear witness that there is no deity save Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and the messenger of Allah. Allah said in his book, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you count the blessings of Allah, you will never be able to encompass them. It's beyond counting, beyond the ability of containing. You also, when he talked to the children of Israel, he said, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِي أَلَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ When he talked to Musa, said, وَذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي أَلَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ And you find this theme is very abundant in the Quran. And this is really very purposeful. Because unless you see the blessing and the positive, you will be stuck with the ugly and the negative. And your vision of the world will be a dark vision. And this will lead to depression, to passive aggressiveness, and sometimes to despair. The Quran is alerting us that we should always bring to attention the blessings and the bounties and the good things that happen with bad things. I cannot only be lamenting and mourning the ugly and the bad and the hard without seeing the bright and the good and the bountiful that Allah sends in our way. We cannot be one-sided only, otherwise we develop a depressed victim mentality, which is not conducive of good work and productive work. The reason I thought about that is what happened last week, just until yesterday, or actually last night, where we saw those two realities together. And I'm inviting myself and you to see both, not only one. As all of you know, that there is a congressman bent on hating Muslims. I would not say Islam, I don't know, he knows what Islam is. But he is really determined that Muslims are a danger to America and should be sized down and cornered and marginalized. And the best way to do that is not to say Muslims are bad, because the values of this country does not allow that. But usually they say Muslims are good. They are great. Except a few of them. You never, this quarter, they never say who the few are or how to know them. But it is enough to give you, as I said before, the box of chocolate and tell you one piece has poison. Which one, I don't know. So this will push you to toss the box in the trash because you are not ready to take chances. I want us to understand the maneuver and the mentality. Don't expect anyone, even if he or she are against Islam and the Muslims, to come out and say they are evil people. Except there are some people who are lacking any iota of intelligence. They say that, thanks God, because it becomes an obvious case, we don't have to worry about it. But our worry is with those who start by the disclaimer, Muslims are good, but very few are so bad and so dangerous, they will blow us up, they are hiding, they are disguising, they are manipulating, and they are lying to us. And even if Muslims come and say the good thing, they say, see, we told you they lie. If you say very good thing, say, oh, how good they are in lying. So this is the maneuver that was followed in that by that congressman in a hearing that he called for in the Congress that took place yesterday. He called for a hearing, and the title is The Problem of Radicalizing Muslims in the United States and the Danger of Homegrown Terrorism. Under that banner, and the way that banner itself is very benign, we also want to fight radicalization. We also want to fight terrorism and to protect the United States, but we are not using it as a banner. We are using it or as a cover. We are using it as a conviction. This is good for us, this is what our religion tells us, and this is good for our country. But others use it as a cover. Under this cover, he put certain notions that can be overlooked, and the notions are that American Muslims, their mosques, and he quoted 80% of the mosques are being run by radical Muslims. 80%. I don't know whether you guys are in the 20% or in the 80%. But 80%, where did he get the statistics from? He didn't say, and nobody asked. Interestingly, did you make a survey? Did you do a study? We don't know, but he just, 80% of the mosques are run by radicals. The second thing is Muslim youth are being radicalized to become terrorists. Again, statement, he said it. Number three, mosques are the breeding farm. This is where people are radicalized. Not in the internet or with Anwar Awlaki or Osama bin Laden and the cyberspace, no. Mosques are where the formation of terrorists is. Number four, Muslims, and specifically Muslim organizations, do not cooperate with the law enforcement to protect the country, to prevent the terrorism. Anyways, these are the four points that were raised, or were passed, I would say, slipped through these hearings last night. And because it is a congressional hearing with members of the Congress from both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, and because he, as the chairman, I'm talking about Congressman Peter King, he as a chairman has the right to call on witnesses who are supposed to be experts to testify for his case. So they called some witnesses. None of the witnesses were from the FBI or Homeland Security. There was no law enforcement except Sheriff Liebach, who was invited by other members of the committee, not by the chairman. There was no credible Muslim voice amongst those witnesses. Yes, there are people whose name are Muslims, but either they have very personal traumatic grievances because of bad things that happened to them, or those kinds of Muslims who are more Catholic than the Pope and more royal than the King. That you say they are dangerous? No, they are not. They are very, very, very dangerous. You say that they are disguising? No, they are very clever in disguising. So that was the only voice. There was no Muslim scholar. There was no Muslim who has a pull in the Muslim community. A leader or an imam or a known person to the community or accepted by some of the Muslims at least. No, there was nothing like that. So, this is a forum that will be quoted, and of course, some organizations, they pay, I think it is $80,000 to buy one page in Washington Post to put an ad to make a good image of Islam, and in one hearing like that, it is quoted all over. This poison is spread all over. And this is the ugly part. We cannot only see this part. We have to expand our field of vision to see the rest of the picture. Number one, because we know the nature of the beast acts as a beast. So when you know that there will be a beast, you expect what this beast will do or what this beast will say. It doesn't take a genius to know ahead of time what is going to be said. And as a matter of fact, some organizations, including MPAC and the people from this center, sat together and said, guess what is going to be said? And lo and behold, as if we are the speech writers, everything that was said, we knew ahead of time. And we refuted every point in what is called written testimony. Like if you are not invited as a witness, you can give your witness on paper and put it as a document in the hearing. So we wrote a very convincing, compelling document. We worked with CARE and ISNA to develop, and Shura, to develop talking points that all organizations will adopt. And the talking points were very convincing and were very compelling and very clear. And we tried to appear as much media as we could to preempt what is going to be said. This is proven to be very effective. Alhamdulillah. The hearing really took place yesterday, and subhanallah, the non-Muslim voices that stepped to the forefront to refute that logic of hate and fear mongering were overwhelming. Just good, honest American citizens spoke out that this is hate mongering, this is fear, this is un-American, this is against the Constitution to select any group of people. And as a matter of fact, one of the congressmen on the panel said, I am wondering, why didn't we have a hearing about Ku Klux Klan that terrorized the country for 100 years? And the answer is, because of bias and because of predetermined ideas, which in itself is counter to the spirit of the Constitution of the United States. And this was not a single voice. There were so many voices of congresswomen and men who stood and questioned the wisdom of limiting the scope to Muslims. And one of them really said something that I liked very much, because of course they kept saying, we are not talking about Muslims, we are talking about Muslims are good, I have friends who are Muslims, until this is ad nauseum claims. And he said, if this is not bad, as you say, it looks bad, because you are singling out a group. So we should appreciate that. And in reality, at the end of the day, Islam and the Muslims, in spite of all the bad things that might have been said, and taking the good things, were the subject, the talking point of all America. And as they say in journalism, all publicity is good publicity. So when I say you are bad, or I say you are good, you got the publicity already. And this is exactly what happened. Almost every household in America, definitely every university, every college, every thinking tank, every media, the word Islam was buzzing. And this is exactly what we needed. We needed to move from being shadows in the dark to reality on the ground. Some people might hate us, some people might love us, that's okay. We know how to remedy hate by love, and we know how to expose lies by truth. And we know how to deter evil by peace. So it's okay if we find people cursing and shouting and screaming and go home, etc. It's better than saying nothing, so that people don't know where Muslims are. And I remember years ago, I invited a friend, a doctor, to my house, and we had calligraphy writing Allah on it. And he said, is this the picture of Allah? They were so abject, ignorant. Now this is not the case. The case, they talked about Judeo-Christian Islamic society in the hearing. They talked about how good are Muslims. Congressman Peter Ellison cried in tears while he was testifying for the Muslim who was the first responder to 9/11, and he gave his life to serve other Americans, etc. So this is a blessing, one of the blessings that we should see. Another one is, we Muslims, alhamdulillah, through being developed under fire all these years, we acquired skills and know-how and savviness that we never had before. We know how to walk our way in the jungle now. Not by slogans, not through hate, not by self-pity, no, but in a skillful, productive way. And this is a blessing that we should be very thankful to Allah for. It is empowering to see the amount of good, honest fellow citizens with whom we live. American people are the friend, not the enemy. Even those who are negative, they might be misinformed or scared. They are not malicious or hateful by nature. The sixth blessing that we could see, it is لا يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو. None will know God's agents but him. And we saw God's agents working for us and for Islam without being Muslims, without being cognizant of this is what they are doing, but we saw it with our own eyes and we should rejoice in that. استغفروا ربكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The point of this khutbah really is very simple. I took the events of last week as just a case study, as an example. But when we get distressed like we were at the beginning of the week, we should be also very open to see the bright things. And by the end of the week, we saw the bright things. We have to savor them, to rejoice on them, to celebrate the positives that we saw. And this will make us more affectionate towards our fellow citizens, more opened, and more amenable to give excuses for those who say bad things about us, because all what they're getting is that poison from one side. So we have to neutralize that. We have to offer the antidote. And inshallah, we will, the truth will prevail. Al-aqibatu lit-taqwa. It will prevail. But we have to not get lost into negativity or victimization or despair or sourness in the interim, during the period. We have to maintain our positive, loving, peaceful, determined, tolerant attitude. We have to feel the pains of our citizens. We have to feel the pains of humanity. And as a matter of fact, we should feel the pain for the human lives that suffered and lost in Japan earthquake. We have to feel the pain and the grief for Muslims who were killed in Pakistan and Afghanistan and in Saudi Arabia and of course in Libya. And any human being that's suffering is part of our concern, because our Prophet, our leader alayhi salatu wasalam, sends as mercy to the worlds in plural. We are the harboring people of that mercy. We should feel it and we should express it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path. And I ask him to show us the truth as true and give us the stamina to adhere to it, and to show us fallacy as false and give us the wisdom to avoid it. I ask him to combine our hearts together and open our minds. And I ask him to forgive our mistakes, sins, and trespasses. And we ask him for victory against those who are bent on denying the truth. And I ask him to accept our deeds and forgive our shortcomings. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة. بارك الله فيك يا سيدي.